Well, I thank God for the privilege that He has given to all of us to worship the Lord. The greatest privilege that a child of God has in this world is to worship Him, to honor Him, and to glorify, exalt His name. Well, before we partake of the Lord's table, before we remember what the supreme and sacrificial love that was demonstrated on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ toward us, let's listen to God's voice this morning. Shall we turn our attention to Colossians chapter 2, first seven verses. Colossians chapter 2, first seven verses. అపస్తులైన పౌలు కొలసీ సంఘానికి రాసిన పత్రిక 2వ అధ్యాయం 7 వచనాలు. కొలాషియన్స్ చాప్టర్ 2 ఫస్ట్ 7 వర్సెస్. షాల్ వి రీడ్ ఆల్టర్నేట్లీ? ఫర్ ఐ వాంట్ యూ టు నో హౌ గ్రేట్ అ స్ట్రగుల్ ఐ హ్యావ్ ఫర్ యూ అండ్ ఫర్ దోస్ ఎట్ లవదీషియా and for all those who have not seen me face to face. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Shall we just look to God for His grace? Our most gracious, loving, and living Heavenly Father, with hearts full of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving, we come into your presence this morning. Lord, we worship you for what you are. You are a great God, great King, great Maker, great Ruler, and great Shepherd. Lord, we have just seen how wonderful. What a wonderful God you are. Lord, I praise you for your a God who is concerned about me. One who knows my sorrow, our sorrow. One who is thoughtful of us. The one who bears us all through our lives. One who bears even our daily burdens. Lord, I worship you for you, the one who is afflicted in all our afflictions. For this morning, as we are here to listen to your voice, Lord, remember your servant to your glory and for the good of your people. Speak to us, touch our hearts, and transform our lives. Make us alert, awake, active in your presence, and give us a heart to receive your word, a mind to obey, and then ears to listen to you, your word. Once again, remember your servant, your glory. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I really thank God for the privilege that He has given to me. How many of you remember me to have seen in 2015? Can I see your hands? Okay. It's good. You remember to have seen me. But the next question is very critical. How many of you remember what I preached? At least one word, one sentence, one thought that you remember that I taught in the month of October 2015. It's on love. Okay, that's good. I spoke on love. What's the passage? It's a well-known passage of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? So I'm happy at least you remember the word love at least, if not the whole message. And brother, we don't remember even what our brother taught us last Sunday. And it's totally unfair on your part to ask us what we remember, which was taught two long, long years ago. Yeah, it may sound quite grotesque and meaningless, but still, as a teacher, I'm basically a teacher. I've been teaching English for the last more than 40 years and teaching Bible for more than 40 years. A teacher is the one who wants to know what the students, they take, how they take, how they receive. And so we are all the students of the Word of God. I thank God for the wonderful time that He has given to me all over in 8 states of America this time. I came in on 21st of July to New York. From there, I was there for about a month and then moved to New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Toronto, Brompton, Mississauga, London in Canada. And then from there, Lansing, Michigan, and then Chicago, Des Moines, Iowa. From there, down to South Dallas, Waco, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, and then again, the southern state, Georgia, Macon, and Atlanta. So God gave a wonderful time, and all people testified that the word was very encouraging to them. All glory to God alone. And once again, God gave me the grace to be with you this morning. And shall we just concentrate the word of God, pay attention to fix our mind on the word of God. So this particular passage that was penned by Paul, the great apostle. Paul, the greatest Christian, the greatest evangelist, the greatest missionary, and the greatest apostle. It was he who penned this letter, this epistle, to the saints at Colossae. Very interesting to note that Paul never visited Colossae. The history says, the Bible history and Bible scholars and pundits, they say, even, of course, the passage also is obvious, Paul never visited Colossae. But there may be a question in your minds. Then who established the church? Paul was not directly involved in that, but indirectly, his spiritual son, Epaphras, who might have perhaps gave his heart, or might have given his heart to the Lord in Ephesus. And then, as he comes from that place, Philemon, Archippus, and then even Epaphras, they all come from that area of Colossae. So Colossae is a place situated about 100 miles away from Ephesus towards the east on the National Highway. And it was situated in a Lycus Valley. And later, Colossae, it disappeared in history. At the time of Paul, let's try to understand the background in which Paul composed or penned this letter. The background was, there was an approaching heresy which was about to threaten the very faith of the believers at Colossae, which was a predominantly Gentile church. There were some local Phrygians mostly, and some Greeks, and a few Jewish believers were there in that city. Mostly it's the Phrygians. Mostly it's a predominantly Gentile church. And a strange teaching, it was about to engulf the church at Colossae. It was apparently a religious system, actually, which has combined elements. Number one, from Greek philosophy, Jewish legalism, and Oriental mysticism. It's a kind of synergism. It's a kind of mixture. Different ideas, different teachings from different backgrounds crept into the church and caused a lot of confusion to the believers at Colossae. Later, this heresy was called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, G-N-O-S-T-I. So Gnosticism lays emphasis on knowledge. It's the knowledge acquired secretly that makes a man accessible to God or enables a person to step into heaven. Though that kind of teaching was there, and that wrong teaching, it belittled the importance of Christ. It degraded the position of Christ. And it taught that Christ is not really important. And it also taught that Christ cannot be both God and man simultaneously. Christ either must be a man or a God, but he cannot be man and God at a time. And then this teaching, it also emphasized circumcision. It also emphasized a lot of dietary regulations. And it also a lot of ritual observances. It taught that one must be circumcised. It taught that one must be very choosy, selective in eating habits. And it also taught that one must mortify his body, punish his body physically very much in order to have the knowledge. That's what it taught. And Paul took up one argument face to face, and he disproved that whatever the Gnosticism said is absolutely wrong. Okay, let us see some of the points here. Paul proved that Christ is all in all. He is the source and substratum of the whole universe. He is the Lord of everything. He is the creator of everything. And there is nothing apart from Christ. That's what, let us see, look at the 15th verse. 15th, first chapter, 15th verse. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So Paul started proving that Christ is everything. And Christ should have preeminence. The theme, the mega theme, there are two themes, twin themes of this epistle. One is supremacy of Christ, preeminence of Christ, and the second is self-sufficiency of Christ. Christ is sufficient for everybody and everything. You don't need anything apart from Christ. So that's what Paul emphasizes. And he disproves, he refutes taking up every argument of Gnosticism and disproving it, and then exalting Christ alone. In 1st chapter 18th verse, 1st chapter 18th verse says Christ is the head of the church, and he is the head of the body of the church. So he's the head of the church, he's the source and substratum of the universe, and he's the head of everything. Now, so he must be given, in the same verse, a preeminence, and that in everything he might be preeminent, not prominent, but preeminent. That is, he must be supreme. That's how Paul. And this doctrine or this wrong teaching also emphasized knowledge. And then Paul said, in the second chapter, verse 3. Second chapter, verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When this teaching emphasized knowledge, and Paul says, there is no knowledge and wisdom apart from Christ Jesus. In him dwell the riches or the treasures of all knowledge and wisdom. So this is the background in which, this theory also said about angel worship. We should worship angels. We cannot go straight away to God, and angels are the intermediaries. But Paul proved that no angel is worthy of worship, and only Christ alone is worthy of worship. Christ is the reconciler, is the redeemer, is the creator, is the redeemer, and is the reconciler. He reconciled the world, those who trusted him, to the heavenly God. That's what he proves. Okay, let's take up one by one, please. Chapter 2. I have given the background. In the first verse, Paul expresses his heart's desire that he has been straining himself, striving himself very much for the believers at Colossae. Oh, what a man of God he is. Paul's heart, Paul's concern, Paul's love for the Colossians, whom he never met and whom he never saw. Now he has been straining and struggling in prayers. He has been praying them with a real burden and concern, that they may be protected from the wrong teaching, that they may be well rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their minds be set on the things above. That was the prayer of Paul. Indeed, this is the prayer of Paul, actually. From the second verse onwards, that's the prayer, Paul's prayer towards Colossians. So this morning, my topic is seven sterling virtues of a living church, characteristics, marks of a living church. Oh, sajeevamaina sanghaniki undalsina edu lakshanalanu gurinchi nenu mee gamananiki teeskravalani ishtapadutunnan. Jagrataga vinandi. Listen carefully. So, introductory, Paul is a man of prayer, a man who has deep concern, love for the people around. That should challenge us. Do we really pray for the people whom we haven't seen? Do we have any concern for the people? Do we have any passion for the perishing souls? Are we praying for the millions and billions of the souls who are heading towards hell? So do we have that kind of heart towards the people whom we haven't seen? Are we praying for this land of America? Are we praying for India? Are we praying people for all over the world, for those who are heading towards hell? So that this should prompt us to have a concern and love and passion for the people around. So that's introductory words. Now let's take up one by one. The first mark of a living church is that they should be united in love. That's the first mark. That's what his desire. Paul prays, "Oh Lord, I pray that the people in Colossae should be united, should be well knit together in love." So that's number one. Dear brothers and sisters, we may have a lot of things in the church. We may have a melodious singing team. We may have a lot of electronic gadgets. We may have wonderful furnished church building, may be well furnished. We may have a lot of dollars to our credit, to our credit. We may have a lot of resourceful persons. We may have a lot of things to our credit. But God wants the church to be united, to be cemented, to be welded, to be concretized in love, to be well knit together. Love is horizontal, love is vertical, and love is horizontal. Love towards God and love towards men. Paul is talking about love towards men, brotherly love. There are two tests. Well, I spoke at length on love when I came 2 years ago. But let me just give you one or two very important verses. Number one, for the first test whether you have love towards your fellow brother or sister is, love never harms its neighbor. Do you know that verse? Romans 13:10. Love never harms its neighbor. Prema tana poruguvaniki keedu cheyadu. Shall we just, before we partake of the Lord's table, shall we examine ourselves thoroughly? Shall we introspect ourselves? We can harm a person in thoughts, in looks, in words, and in deeds and relationships. You don't need to do just in actions alone, but you can even harm a person in your thoughts. So shall we examine ourselves? Did we harm anyone in our thoughts, in our looks, in our words the last week? So that's love never harms its neighbor. That's number one. And the second test that we should put to ourselves is 1 Peter 4th chapter 8th verse. 1 Peter 4th chapter 8th verse. There it says, love covers over a multitude of sins. That's why love one another deeply, earnestly. One version says deeply. Another version says earnestly. Love, what does love do? Tell me, what does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. Prema aneka doshamalanu papamalanu kappunu. You know the story of Noah? When he became old, he just drank wine. He got intoxicated. And he forgot himself. He was off naked. And one of his sons came and saw his nudity or nakedness. And instead of covering his nakedness, what did he do? He went to other brothers and reported to them. Hey, you know what happened? What daddy did? And he should have covered the nakedness. Instead of covering nakedness, he uncovered it actually. But the two other brothers, they went from behind and took a blanket and covered the nakedness of their father. Today, in most of the Christian churches, in most of the Christian organizations, in most of the Christian fellowships, we have become experts in uncovering the weakness of others. And some, ఒక అమ్మాయి వస్తుంది అక్క దగ్గరికి, అక్క నీ ఎవరికి చెప్పవంటే నా కొంచెం నాకు ప్రాబ్లం ఉంది, నీకు చెప్పాలనుకుంటున్నాను అక్క అంటది. ఎందుకు నీకు అనుమానం వస్తుంది? ఎవరికైనా చెప్తాను, నేను ఎప్పుడైనా చెప్పినానే నేను అని. అయితే చెప్పవు కదక్క, చెప్తానక్క, నాకు ఈ సమస్య ఉందక్క, నాకు చాలా సీరియస్ పర్సనల్ ప్రాబ్లం ఉందని. జస్ట్ షీ కమ్స్ అండ్ పాసెస్ ఆన్ హర్ పర్సనల్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ టు అన్ ఎల్డర్లీ సిస్టర్, టేకింగ్ అన్ అష్యూరెన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ హర్ దట్ షీ వుడ్ నాట్ డైవల్జ్ ఇట్ టు ఎనీవన్. అండ్ దిస్ అక్క ఇన్ ఎ వెరీ స్టైలిష్ వే షీ ప్రామిసెస్. And by the time the girls moves away from the house, she takes up the phone. Ippude andina vartha. Here is the latest news I gathered it from most reliable sources. We thought that girl, she's a very fine, very, very nice girl. But the secret is divulged now. I will tell you what kind of woman she is, a girl she is. Are we not doing that? Are we not uncovering the weaknesses of our fellow brothers and sisters? This is the saddest story that prevails in the church today, everywhere in the world. So let's join people, check themselves. Or we all, including myself, let's check ourselves. Do we indulge in speaking ill of others in their absence? Do we indulge in uncovering the weakness of other persons? But that's not love. And Paul desired that they should be, if they are well knit together, they never speak ill of others. They never uncover the weaknesses of other brothers and sisters. They cover. They submit such people into the loving hands of God. So that's number one. Of course, one verse, Romans 12:9 says, let your love be sincere. We live in the days where sincerity is not seen anywhere. Either with the help of microscope or telescope or even stethoscope, there is no scope for sincerity these days in the people, in the hearts of the people. Everywhere lack of sincerity, everywhere hypocrisy, craftiness, cunningness. ఎక్కడ చూసినా కపటము, వంచన, మోసమే కనబడుతుంది ఈ దినాల్లో. యథార్థత కనబడడం లేదు. జీసస్ పాయింటింగ్ అవుట్ వన్ పర్సన్, హియర్ ఇస్ అ మ్యాన్ హూ ఇస్ ట్రూలీ ఇజ్రాయిట్స్, ఇన్ డీడ్ ఇన్ హిమ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో గైల్. ఇతను నిజముగా ఇస్రాయల్, ఇతనిలో ఏ కపటము లేదు. కెన్ జీసస్ గివ్ అప్ దాట్ టెస్టిమనీ అబౌట్ మీ అండ్ యూ? కెన్ హీ సే దాట్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో గైల్, నో క్రాఫ్టినెస్, no hypocrisy, no deceit, and no insincerity in you? So that's number one. May the Lord help us realize help us knit together in love. That's number one. Well, I'm going by my Telugu version. Of course, I do have English version. The second point is to have the full knowledge of the complete riches of God, and that is the mystery of God. Who is the mystery of God in the second verse? Who is the mystery of God? Christ. Paul prayed that the believers at Colossae should have a clear, total, complete, deep, profound knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's called the mystery of God. What is mystery? Anything that is hidden is mystery. So what is the mystery here? Jesus Christ himself is a mystery. Why does Paul call him mystery? Because he is God as well as man. That's a mystery. He's not Ardhanarishwarudu. Vinnara padam eppudana Telugu vallu or anyone. Ardhanarishwarudu ante enti? Nari sagam Ishwarudu sagam nari annatuga. Sagam Ishwarudu sagam stree. Half Shiva and half lady. It's not half half. It's not 50-50 biscuits in India. You have 50-50 biscuits. He's not 50% God and 50% man. He's totally, absolutely God, and he's totally man. That is the mystery. And Paul desired that the people at Colossae should have a clear and deeper, wider understanding of this mystery of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God as well as man. That we should understand, and that's what he prayed. And these people, they said that, no, he cannot be God and man at the same time. How can a man, or how can a person be God and man? Yeah, you and I cannot be God and man, but Christ, that's the mystery of God, and that's Christ. And he prayed that they may have a clear, deeper, wider understanding of God. Paul says, I do have an ambition in my life to know him and then the power of his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says, I have a desire to know Christ more and more. This morning, dear brothers, I would like to challenge you. Do we have a desire to know Christ deeper and deeper, more and more, wider and wider as the days pass by? The wise man should not boast of his wisdom. The strong man should not boast of his strength. And the rich man should not boast of his riches. But one should boast of the fact that he knows that he is a God who created the heaven and who exercises kindness, righteousness, and justice on the earth. That's what Jeremiah chapter 29, 23, 24 says. Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, Jeremiah. The Lord says to Jeremiah, let him boast in the fact that he knows me and he understands me and knows me. So do we understand and know of a God that he exercises kindness, righteousness, and justice on the face of the earth? భూమి మీద కృప చూపుచు నీతి న్యాయములు జరిగించిన యెహోవాను నేనని గ్రహించి తెలుగులో చక్కగా ఉంది గ్రహించి పరిశీలనగా తెలుసుకుంటున్న బట్టి అతిశయించవలెను. హ్యావ్ యు లెర్న్డ్ దట్ వే? డు యు హ్యావ్ ఎ డిజైర్ టు నో క్రైస్ట్ మోర్ అండ్ మోర్ యాజ్ ద డేస్ పాస్ బై? ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ టు నో క్రైస్ట్, యు షుడ్ సిట్ విత్ ద క్రైస్ట్. కమ్ అండ్ టు మీ అండ్ సిట్ అట్ మై ఫీట్ అండ్ లెర్న్ ఆఫ్ మీ. సో లెట్ అస్ కల్టివేట్ ద హ్యాబిట్ ఆఫ్ సిట్టింగ్ అట్ హిస్ ఫీట్ ఎవ్రీ డే అండ్ గేజింగ్ అపాన్ హిస్ ఫేస్, లిసనింగ్ టు హిస్ స్మాల్ వాయిస్, knowing his heavenly purposes and designs for you, and then grow stronger in him. That's number two. And number three, if you have that kind of knowledge of Christ, what the third point is, that really encourages your hearts. That gives encouragement. In one version, comfort. In another version, encouragement. You will be encouraged when you know your God. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7, I know the one whom I believe. That's why I am not ashamed, he says. నేను నమ్మిన వాని ఎరుగుదున కనుక నేను సిగ్గుపడను. Do you know whom you believe? That's the question. We should know whom we believe. We should also know why we believe. We should know what we believe, whom we believe, and we should also know why we believe. And Paul says, I know the one whom I believe, and there is no need for me to be ashamed of. Can you say that? So here, in the third, if you know him, you will be encouraged. You will be infused with a lot of courage. And you can confront with any situation that comes across your way. Elanti paristhitinaina nee prabhuni verigute, adi nee hrudayamlo aadaranistundi, dhairyanistundi, nibbaranistundi. So do we know our God? If we know God, you are encouraged. When Goliath was standing and when he threw a formidable challenge to the Israelites, and Saul, including Saul and everybody, all the top generals and colonels, they ran away from the battlefield. Who remained? Ordinary soldiers remained. An young man like David remained. And David couldn't understand what was going wrong with them. And then David asked about the reason for their fallen faces, long faces. And then they pointed out toward the gigantic figure, Goliath. And David saw him for a while. And then he remembered who his God is. And then he challenged, who is this uncircumcised Philistine after all to defy the armies of living God? Why was David able to utter those words? Because David looked to his God, and his God is greater than thousand and crores of Goliaths. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, our God is greater than the greatest problems that we face in the world. Our God, remember, he's greater than the greatest situation that you come across in your life. So that's number three. Actually, and you will be comforted. You will be encouraged. You will become courageous to face any situation when you know your God. Because David knew his God. Saul was an anointed king, unfortunately ran away from the field because he did not remember his God. Most of the time we taste our goodness of God, but we forget when we come across, when we are buffeted or beset with problems, when we are just encounter problems, we forget our God. But let's not forget our God. And let's be encouraged in our hearts, being filled with the knowledge of God more and more. That's number three. Number four, fourth verse, please. Look at the Bible. Look into the Bible. What is the fourth verse says? What is the fourth quality or the mark of a living church? Tell me, can anybody speak out, please? No, I'm asking you to give your own answer, not leading out. No, don't read out, but just after reading out, what is the point there? What is the fourth mark of a living church? How do the believers in a living church behave? They are not deceived, they are not beguiled by fine-sounding arguments, enticing words. Dear brothers and sisters, we live in the last days where a lot of wrong teaching is in circulation. A lot of wrong teachers, a lot of false teachers, a lot of heresies are taking control and just creeping into the churches and causing a lot of confusion. So here Paul says, don't allow anyone with fine sounding words or with enticing words or with plausible arguments deceive you and entice you. I don't know how many of you come across Jehovah Witnesses. How many of you come across? Do you know that whatever they know, they argue in a very, very convincing way, systematic way. They don't know anything about the totality of the scriptures. They know only about a few verses about the humanity of Christ. Yesu Prabhu Devudu kaadu anna vachanalu baaga nerchukuntaru vallu. Avi zoinstaru. Chudu Devudu gaadu kada manushudu kada. How can you say that he is God? But they don't look at the other side of the coin. But they argue very, very systematically and very convincingly, very courageously. Abaddham athikinattu cheppalantare atta cheptaru vallanattu. Andanga cheptaru abaddham athikinattu cheptaru. So they argue very effectively. It doesn't matter how effective one may be, he cannot change the truth. Kontha mandi rendu moodu chestamu rendu chestane vallu unnaru. Now, there was a boy seated along with his parents at the table. They were about to take food, and there were two eggs in a saucer. The boy is looking at his mother, asking his mommy, "Mom, can you say how many eggs are there in the saucer?" "Hey, what question is this? They're so clear. There are two eggs." And then that boy says, "No, mommy, you just look at them carefully and tell me how many eggs are there." "Hari, I am seeing only two. It's very clear. There's no, I'm going to prove them three," he said. And then the mother was so aghast, and then she was so amazed, and she couldn't understand how this fellow was going to prove two, three. And then he has taken one egg into his one hand, he has taken the second egg, and he just said, "Mommy, this is number one, and this is number two. 1 + 2 is equal to 3. And another word. And then mother was so amazed. "Oh, Ramanujan is born in my womb. And Shakuntala, such a great mathematician, is born in my womb." That's how she was exulted. Oh, she was really so happy. And then her joy knew no bounds. That's how she was thinking. And usually, tell me, sons ride over mothers or fathers? Mothers. They take liberty with the mother. "Mommy, I want $100. You go and ask daddy to get me." అది మధ్యలో నేను ఎందుకు రావా? యూ జస్ట్ వై డోంట్ యూ గో? పోయేటట్టు నిన్నెందుకు అడుగుతుంది? యూ జస్ట్ గో. అండ్ సో దే టేక్ లిబర్టీ విత్ ద మదర్స్, ద రైట్ ఓవర్ ది మదర్స్. అండ్ ద ఫాదర్ వాస్ సైలెంట్ అండ్ కామ్ అండ్ కూల్ రిమైన్. అండ్ దెన్ హి జస్ట్ ఇంటర్వీన్. ఎక్సలెంట్, మ్యాగ్నిఫిసెంట్. ఓ, దిట్స్ రియలీ అమేజింగ్. వాట్ ఎ మ్యాథమెటికల్ ప్రెసిషన్ నాలెడ్జ్ యూ హ్యావ్ మై సన్, అని తండ్రి అన్న మాటలు. జాగ్రత్త. ద ఫాదర్ సెడ్, "ఓకే, యూ ప్రూవ్ 2, 3. ఫాదర్ సెడ్, "I will eat number 1, mommy will eat number 2, and you can eat number 3. And then he was so shocked. "Ayyo, ma nayana unnappudu chesi gar enta pan chestunnaru." So he wanted to outsmart his mother. But
but you can never outsmart. You cannot make 2, 3. 2 is 2 and 3 is 3. So a lot of people come around and they teach a lot of wrong things and confuse us. Let's not be just go home. Ephesians 4:14, in that where Paul says, let's not be tossed to and fro by every kind of teaching. And then in Ephesians 5th chapter, he talks about, let no one deceive you with vain teaching. So let's not be deceived. Let nobody deceive you with empty words. Fine sounding words. But they are without truth. So a true church, the mark of a church is, they are well built, well grounded in the word of God. With a sound teaching, they cannot be easily carried away by wrong teaching. That's number four. And number five, verse five. The fifth mark of a living church. Can anybody tell me what is the fifth mark of a living church? Fifth verse, Colossians 2. What do you get from that? What do you understand from that? Rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. The fifth mark of a living church is the believers lead an orderly life, a disciplined life, an exemplary life. Orderly, this word is actually, it refers to the military. Military soldiers. It's talk about how disciplined they are, how systematically, how orderly they stand, they move, whatever they do systematically. So it's a military discipline. Discipline is of two types. The one is inbuilt, and the second one is imposed. When the teacher is there, the behavior of the students will be different. When the teacher in the absence, it will be altogether different. The inbuilt discipline is something we, irrespective of the times, our circumstances, one remains disciplined. But imposed is only at the time when it is imposed on you, you behave disciplinedly. But God expects his children to be disciplined in thoughts, disciplined in looks, in words, in deeds, and in relationships. Right from the moment we get up from sleep, from bed, and right up to the moment, till the moment we go to the bed, God expects his children to be disciplined. Go home and do some exercise. Write down the word discipline, and you write the corresponding number of that in English alphabet. For example, D stands for 4. You know, D is the fourth letter, A, B, C, D. So write down the spelling of discipline and write the corresponding figure or number, and then try to calculate, total it up. And tell me after, you can do it within a few seconds or minutes, but you can tell me later, not now. Okay, discipline is the most important thing. Orderliness, our God is a God of orderliness and decency. That's what is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14th chapter, last verse. Mana devudu allari karta kadu, ayana samadhanam karta, samastamunu mariyadaga kramanga jayamantar. Everything must be done in decency and order, because our God is a God of order. Are we orderly? Are we disciplined? The way we talk, the way we behave, the way we relate ourselves to the people around. The beauty of life lies in the way how we relate ourselves to others. Itarlato elanti sambandha bandhavyalu kaligi jeevisthunnam ana jeevitha anda danloni jeevitham yokka andamu arthamu paramarthamu paramanandam kuda andulo undi. So that's the fifth quality, fifth mark of a living church. Akkade unchandi, the next verse, next point in the same verse. What is the sixth mark of a living church? Please speak out. Speak up or speak out. Steadfastness in their faith. Firmness in the faith of Christ Jesus. So the sixth mark of a living church is the believers are firm in their faith, irrespective of the situation that they are facing, irrespective of the circumstances that they are confronted with. In ups and downs, in pains and pleasures, in sorrows and joys, in ebbs and flows, and then in adversity and prosperity, a true child of God remains firm and steadfast. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 50, 15th chapter, the last verse, he says, "Dear brothers, remain firm and steadfast, unmoved, knowing that your labor in the Lord will not be vain." It will not go vain.
కాగా నా ప్రియ సహోదరులారా, ప్రభునందలి ప్రయాసం వ్యర్థం కాదనిరిగి, స్థిరులను కదలని వారును ప్రభు కార్యాభివృద్ధి అందు ఎప్పటికీ ఆసక్తులు నాయుడి.
Abounding in God's word all the time. Be firm. Tell me, dear brothers, when do we get weakened in our faith? Or when do we lose firmness in our faith?
ఎప్పుడు అస్థిరలం అవుతాం, ఎప్పుడు బలహీనం అవుతాం చెప్పండి. విశ్వాసంలో
when situations change, okay? Oh, the things are not favorable to us. Very good. When the word of God is not in us. Oh, okay. Disobedience. Okay. Right. Oh, well, you have given a lot of points. I would like to add another point to that. When our attention is diverted from the author and finisher of our faith.
Mana vishwasam, mana kartai, dani konasaginchu yesu vaipu chudakunda. మన దృష్టి అంత ప్రక్కలకు చూస్తే, వీ నో ఇంగ్లీ ఆర్ అన్నో ఇంగ్లీ, వీ గ్రో వీకర్ ఇన్ అవర్ ఫెయిత్. వెన్ వీ టర్న్ అవర్ అటెన్షన్ ఫ్రమ్ అవర్ లార్డ్, యునో, వెన్ జీసస్ వాస్ వాకింగ్ ఆన్ ద వాటర్స్ అండ్ పీటర్ వాస్ అమేజ్డ్ టు సీ దట్, అండ్ పీటర్ ఆస్క్, లార్డ్, ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ యూ, అలౌ మీ టు వాక్ విత్ యూ ఆన్ ద వాటర్స్, అండ్ జీసస్, కమ్ ఆన్ పీటర్, యూ కెన్ ఆల్సో వాక్, అండ్ పీటర్ వాక్ ఫర్ ఎ వైల్, అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్, హీ సాంక్ డౌన్.
How? Why did he sink down? He looked around. He looked at the storm. Galini chuchi bhayapadina maata untundi. He looked around because his mind, as long as his attention was pinned and fixed on Jesus, he was quite safe and secure. But the moment he turned his eyes from the Lord, he unknowingly, unwittingly, he got drowned. He was sinking down in the waters. That's what we do most of the time. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, let's run the race which is set before us with perseverance and with patience."
Munduga unchabanna pandarangallo opikato parigettali, drushtanta mana vishwasam mana kartaina vaani vaipu Yesayya vaipu chustu munduku sagali. Ala gaakunda manam Goliath vaipu chustam, paristhitula vaipu chustam, galini chustam. That's why we get drowned.
So let's learn, let's take addition this afternoon before taking part. Lord, many a time, even in my life, I really, Lord, it's true of me, many a time I deflected my eyes, attention from you, and looked around and got drowned without even my knowledge, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Let us check ourselves honestly in the word of God, in the light of God's word, and then confess our sin before we take part of the Lord's table. That's the sixth one. And the last one is seventh verse. The last part of the seventh verse. Abounding in thanks. Of course, I am just missing two important points. As I don't have time, I just wanted to touch upon seven only. Actually, being rooted and being built. Both those two are very important, crucial points, but I'm missing them. But I'm just touching the last one, abounding in thankfulness. NIV says, overflowing with thankfulness. So one of the most beautiful marks of a living church is the believers in the church, they cultivate, they have the habit of thanking God more and more as the days pass by. Thanking in ups and downs, thanking in insults, thanking in firmnesses, infirmities, thanking in mockery, thanking in all kinds of diseases, problems, illness, in all things, personally or familially or professionally or in society or in the church, whatever the circumstances that they come across, they learn, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for allowing this in my life. Our God is not a God of injustice. He is a God of justice. Bible says, Job 34:10 says, it is impossible for God to pervert justice. He never perverts. Anyayam cheta Yehovaku
అసంభవం.
Our God is a God of justice, and he never does anything willfully or with wrong intention. He never allows us, he never harms us. That's what Lamentations 32:33 says. ఆయన బుద్ధిపూర్వకంగా ఎవరికి కీడు చేయడు. సో అవర్ గాడ్, ఇఫ్ ఎట్ ఆల్ హీ అలౌస్ ఎనీథింగ్, హీ అలౌస్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ అవర్ బెటర్మెంట్, ఫర్ అవర్ ఇంప్రూవ్మెంట్, దాట్ వీ మే బి షేప్డ్ టు ద ఇమేజ్ ఆఫ్ క్రైస్ట్. సానుకూల ప్రతికూల పరిస్థితులన్నీ కూడా ఆయన కుమారుని స్వరూప్యంలోకి ఎదగడానికి ఆయన అనుమతిస్తాడు. సో లెట్ అస్ లర్న్ టు థ్యాంక్ గాడ్ ఇన్ అప్స్ అండ్ డౌన్స్, ఇన్ ప్లెజర్స్. 104 డిగ్రీల జ్వరం వస్తే ఎంతమంది థ్యాంక్స్ చెప్పారు మీరు? చెప్ప చేతులు ఎత్తని చూద్దాం ఎవరైనా. ప్రభా, నాకు 104 డిగ్రీలు ఇచ్చావు, నాకు నడుములు లాగుతున్నాయి, కాళ్ళు లాగుతున్నాయి, ప్రభా థ్యాంక్ యూ నాన్న అన్నారా ఎప్పుడన్నా? లైట్ వస్తే థ్యాంక్స్ చెప్తాం, లైట్ పోతే థ్యాంక్స్ చెప్తాం ఎప్పుడన్నా? చెప్పండి, నిజంగా చెప్పండి. కరెంట్ పోయేసరికి అయ్యో ప్రభా త్వరగా రాని ప్రభా, కరెంట్ వచ్చి ప్రైజ్ ద లార్డ్ ప్రభా కరెంట్ వచ్చేసరి. బట్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ టీచింగ్ మీ టు థ్యాంక్ హిమ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్. God is, I think I shared it, I'm not sure. Let me just share and conclude. God has blessed me with 4 blessings. I thank God every day for blessing me with diabetes, for blessing me with hypertension, for blessing me with spondylitis, and for blessing me with enlargement of prostate gland. These are the 4 blessings that God has given me, and I thank Lord, thank you. I never call them infirmities. I never call them diseases. I never call them any other word, but I call them blessings. Lord, I thank you for blessing me with these things. God gave me a daughter in 1977. On the very day, within a few hours, Lord took the daughter as a father. It was quite excruciatingly painful to me, but God gave me the grace. Lord, you are the giver, and you have every right to take it back. I cannot question you. Thank you for giving, and thank you for taking the child within a few hours. And because of my strict life and convictions, ABVP students, many a time, they mocked at me, they jeered at me, and they wanted to assault me physically, but God didn't allow them. So I had a lot of tough situations in my career as a lecturer and principal, but I never questioned my God, never grumbled. But I thank God for any situation that he allowed in my life. Insulting situations, very, very insulting, but still, I thank God. Lord, thank you for the insults that are heaped upon me by the students, the abusive language they used against me. Lord, I thank you for that. Give me the real love that I may show more love towards them, your love towards them. That's what God taught me. So, dear brothers, these are the 7 marks of a living church. I introduce myself as a teacher. What does a teacher do before conclusion? Recapitulation antaru kada. How many teachers are here, by the way? Any by accident or by mistake, anybody is a teacher here? Maybe some Bible teachers are here, I know. But any teacher is a teacher. Number 1, what is the first mark without seeing the notes? You are writing notes, very good. But tell me without seeing the notes. What is the first mark? United in love. Okay, second one.
మేము ఒకటి చెప్పిన మిగతావని మీరు చెప్పాలన్నట్టు చూస్తున్నారు మీరు అనుకున్నా. ఒక్కటి చెప్పడమే ఎక్కువైందంటే మళ్ళీ మా వైపు చూస్తున్నాం అన్నట్టు.
యా, కంప్లీట్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫుల్ రిచెస్ ఆఫ్ క్రైస్ట్ అండ్ దట్ గాడ్ దట్ ఈస్ క్రైస్ట్ జీసస్ ద మిస్టరీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. నంబర్ 3. Not covering. Encouragement. Yeah, we will have encouragement in the hearts. We'll be encouraged by the word of God. That knowledge of him that makes us courageous. Number 4. Not beguiled, not deceived, not cheated by any wrong teachers or wrong teaching. That's true. That's number 5. Orderliness, disciplined life, exemplary life. Number 6, steadfastness, firmness, firm like Mount Zion in faith. What come what may. And the last but not the least, abounding in thankfulness, shall we bow our heads? Shall we examine ourselves for a while, dear brothers and sisters? The Lord has made His word absolutely clear to us, and He has spoken to us. There's no point of coming traditionally and going back homes. But when the Lord speaks, it's always good for us to check ourselves and confess our sin and be cleansed of His precious blood and take a new decision to live in the light of God's word. O most gracious God, we thank You for the way, Lord, You have visited us this afternoon. Thank You for Your word, which is so clear. The seven marks of a living church. Lord, we are all the believers. The group of believers is a church, basically. And we as a believers, before as a group, we as individually, Lord, let's check ourselves in the light of Your word. Lord, teach us to remain well-knit and united in love. And then, Lord, teach us to have the complete understanding of Your full riches in Christ, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, make us courageous enough to face any situation out of the knowledge of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, stand firmly in our faith, not to be shaken by any wrong teaching that comes across or that we come across. And Lord, give us a disciplined life. With all shame, Lord, I confess, we confess, many a time we don't have discipline enough. We are undisciplined or indisciplined, Lord, lack of discipline, and cause You many a time a lot of annoyance to You, Lord. Have mercy upon us. And then, Lord, make us firm. Many a time we remain very shaky in our faith. We waver in our faith because we don't focus on You, but focus on the situation. Have mercy upon Father. Teach us to focus on You. Help us all the time look unto the author and finisher of our faith. And finally, Lord, teach us to thank You more and more and more. Abound in thankfulness. Overflow in thankfulness. In ups and downs, in ebbs and flows, in sorrows and joys and pains and pleasures, Lord, teach us to thank You more and more. Many a time, we were not able to thank You. Many a time, we grumble against You. Lord, have mercy upon us. Cleanse us with the precious blood of Your Son, Jesus, and help us partake of Your table worthily. Lord, may we treasure the words of God in our hearts and lead a life according to Your life, to Your according to Your word, and bringing glory to Yourself. Commit ourselves to that end. In Jesus' precious name I ask. Amen.